Welcome to your next step up the self-publishing mountain.
I'm Matilda Swift, author of Quintessentially British Cozy Mysteries.
And I'm Samantha Cummings, author of young adult books about magic, myths, and monsters.
I've written the books.
Changed their covers.
Tweaked their blurbs.
Tried tools from a dozen ads courses.
And I'm still not seeing success.
Now, we're working together to plot and plan our way from barely making ends meet to pulling in a living wage.
Join us on our journey where we'll be mastering the pen to snag that paycheck.
Hello and welcome to Pen to Paycheck Authors Podcast. I'm Sam Cummings, here with my co-host Matilda Swift, and we're here to write our way to financial success. We're two indie authors with over a dozen books between us and still a long way to go towards the quit the day job dream. If that sounds familiar, listen along for our Mastery Through Missteps journey. Each week, we cover a topic to help along the way. This week's topic is going to be butter. But before that, let's do our wins and whinges of the week. I did it!
Is that your win
what
the week
are your...
that you managed to get
my
wins
and
whinges?
Wins and whinges, and also the fact that I've said all of the intro without having to restart, which is what I
Fantastic.
Usually do.
Yeah.
You start with your wins and whinges, and then I'll try.
I've got a very minor whinge that I am just so busy. We said this before we started, neither of us really knows the last week went. It feels like we just spoke about 12 hours ago. And yeah. I have done 10 million things since then, so definitely time has gone, but I have used every second of every day to do something, and I feel like I need like an alternate universe where there are no, like, I need to float around in space for a while. I need to do a flotation tank. Yeah, or a massage. I need something. Because I'm just very busy in a good and bad way. And then my win of the week is prep for my book club is going really well, and I'm so excited.
Yes.
Still, T minus 10 days. So prep has been, so for my book club, I've got box set for book 1 to 3, which is my lowest selling book of any kind. Like my readers, I have not found readers yet that are box set readers. Mine have just read the books already, and the box set I sold some when I first launched it. Bizarrely, even though most of my readers are KU, they don't seem to be KU box set readers. One thing that I noticed when I was going in to tidy up the box set, like the record for it, was it's not linked to my series. When I set it up, you couldn't link box sets to your series. You couldn't link prequels. So obviously I just haven't gone back in and tidied it up, which is like a real chicken and egg situation. But it's like, it doesn't sell much, so I don't know anything to it. And I don't know anything to it, so it doesn't sell much. But then I got to tidy that up. I recovered all the books in that series last year, and I never got around to sorting out the box set again because it doesn't sell. I didn't really think it's worth it. But I did, because it's going to go on a BookBub email, and I want to have the prettiest possible cover. And when I got the BookBub notification, I had about 3 weeks before the BookBub, and my book cover designer is a dream, like always very good at last minute things, but he has a date on his website when he says, I'm booking my next jobs for this, and it's always just a couple of weeks away. But his most recent email, his most recent newsletter was, I'm taking a holiday because I haven't had a holiday for ages, and it's next week. So technically he had on his calendar, I'm not free for about 4 weeks. But a very kind friend of mine did a mock-up of the box set. So that I was like, here's an exact cover. Here's the exact cover. Can you just copy this with like the right fonts, the right, you know, colors and things. And it should hopefully be very, very quick. And that is James at Go On Write. He is a friend to indie authors. He is an absolute dream. He has helped me out of many last minute pickles and did this. So I've got the new cover on there. I've told BookBub about the new cover because now you have to do it manually, or you have to send to them a request to put a new cover on rather than doing it yourself. I'm planning out things for promoting the new series inside the box set because I want to get some ARC readers. So it has really spurred me on, and it's all going well. I'm feeling excited and also busy. How about you? What are your wins and whinges?
I'll start with whinge because that's always fun. This week has gone so fast. So this week I set myself the task because I'm currently editing my next werewolf book. And I was like, oh, this week, no problem. I'll have finished editing the whole first act. Can't see why I wouldn't be able to do that.
And feels easy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, this week I thought, you know, I'll put in the hours every day. And I've just been not distracted with butter. It all came at the right time, really. But I just have not done what I thought I was going to do. So I'm a little bit on the back foot. I feel like, oh, I didn't like achieve my goal. But at the same time, there's a good reason for it. Mm-hmm. Like the time spent thinking about butter is like, this is the right time for me. This is like perfect timing. So it's a whinge, but I'm reframing it just to be a something to like learn from. Like, you don't have to rush everything. My win for this week is that my formatter sent me the final formatted book for my next release, which is on the 21st of April. And I've uploaded it to KDP. Everything's in place. I've got the paperback proof ordered, and I just feel like how am I this far, like, advanced on this? Like, I don't know how I've done it in this time. Usually I'm like on the day when you're supposed to upload your file, and I'm scrambling to get it done. Like, oh my God, I've forgotten. How do I do this? But yeah,
I'm like, which midnight is it? Is it my midnight? Is it American midnight?
Yeah. So I think I'm days in advance for uploading all the documents.
And you're going to be paid back at the same time, which I never do.
I don't think I will. I've pushed the paperback to the 1st of May just to make sure I've got time to tweak things. Mm-hmm. Like if things on the cover need tweaking and stuff. But yeah, like it's in production. So feeling like I'm just like, that's such a win for me.
I have got a whole series without paperbacks. Because it's a smaller selling series, I don't like, I'm sell much more in ebook than in paperback. So, and like, they bought as a bundle my designer, so like, it's not like I pay anything for them, I should get around and do it. I just haven't. So, I feel like you're a superstar. Mm-hmm. And I should maybe feel motivated from that to sort out my covers. I mean, from this whole week situation, this whole like last minute book bub.
I just really enjoy having my own books in paperback. So, it's just for me, really.
Yeah, I would too. You know, I just have not.
Yeah. It is a bigger headache. Yeah, you should do it. But it is definitely just more admin.
It's on the list. Get a PA. I do need a PA. Absolutely need a PA. And I'm going to get a PA at some point in the near future. I'm resolved, because I'd be so good at having a PA. I'd be really great at it.
Yeah.
So I will get one. But I think we are both incredibly excited about this week's topic, like unreasonably so.
Yes.
Surprisingly so. So this week's topic is butter. What is butter? How do you use it, and how much do you use? Those are our main questions for the week. Do you want to get started off, Sam?
Oh God, how do you describe butter? So I like to think of butter as the hot sauce, the thing that just makes something a little bit better. So you've got all your tropes, and you've got your genres, and you've got all of your things, and it's great. It feels great, reads great. But the butter is what makes things extra tasty. And it's always...
I feel like we should go slightly further back and just make sure people know if you listened last week. This is from Theodora Taylor, genius at large romance writer, writes interracial romances, who realized that she was selling outside of her quite small niche, realized why she was doing it was because she was using a thing she calls butter, also known as universal fantasy, which is the thing that makes you go, oh, I absolutely have to read that. I heard a great definition from her. I have read and heard maybe every word she's ever written and spoken this week, because I'm obsessed. And she said, the trope is what it is, and the butter is why it's good. Mm. So it's like, it's the thing that makes you have a feeling. It's a thing that you tell people about.
Yes, it is a feeling, but definitely a feeling-based thing. And before reading, because you were the person that told me about her and about this book and the concept of butter, and it sounded great. But at the same time, I kind of felt like, because her genre is romance, I didn't know whether what she was selling was going to be for me. But I read the book this week and had epiphanies.
And it's called Seven Figure Fiction.
And a lot of it didn't relate to me, but she has very clear examples of what butter is and what this universal fantasy is. And it really makes you think about your own book, so how your own stories fit into what she's talking about. But then it just makes you look at the world at large as like, oh, mm-hmm. like, is there butter everywhere? And I've just never thought about it. So that was like, my whole week has been watching TV shows and looking at books on my shelf and thinking, what are the things from those, like, those TV shows and stuff? Like, what is it that I love? What are the things that happen where I'm just like, oh, I love that. And so mm-hmm. all this week I have been making a list of all of the things that make me super excited. And I've also been like going through my editing work and making sure that it's buttery enough. Mm-hmm. So what's your, like, what have you been doing this week with regards to butter?
Everything. So I read the book ages ago, and I think like you and like a lot of people, and like I often have had, in fact, with books that are related to craft and publishing, I read it and I was like, that's really good, yeah, and then I did something else and I sort of forgot about mm-hmm. it. I was like, I hope it sort of osmotically got into my brain somehow and I will magically yeah. do something better. And I didn't. That's not true, actually. I did. And I've read the book twice, and both times after I read it, my writing was better, but not in a way that I could control. So I read it and I was like, I kind of understand what butter is, or I have a sense of what butter is after reading the book. And the book is great, really well written, but because she is a romance writer, and I think generally because romance writers are much more deliberate about their work mm-hmm. because they have to write to mm-hmm. very specific small tropes. Like, they yes. are writing boss hole, secret baby, like things that I couldn't even possibly articulate for any other genre. Things like,
yeah.
how do I know what a fated mate is? Like, I've never read a book in it, but I hear like romance writers know what it is, mm-hmm. they articulate it well. So they are so conversant in very specific, deliberate tactics in their work because they're thinking about what their readers want. So because I don't write romance, I could read it and I can understand or get a sense of like what it was, but I could in no way translate it to my work, or even really, this is the hard part, start spotting butter myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really helpful this week. So I've read the book a couple times already, but I haven't really felt like I could control butter. I was not a pastry chef yet. I think I am now a pastry chef. So this week I have subscribed to her Substack, which has got several years worth of articles in there. I have read every single one in this last week. I have gone full butter brain. Well worth subscribing. Even if you just subscribe for a month and read everything, it's just £6. Great to do. And just to see her talk about it in so many different ways. I've also listened to many, many podcast episodes with her and read other people's articles about the same thing. And I think I have got much clearer idea of what it is. So she gave a good quote in a podcast I listened to, which was, the trope is what it is, and the universe fantasy of butter is why it's good. And she often gives the example of Beauty and the Beast. So mm-hmm. the Disney film is the easy one to think about because everyone has seen that. But obviously it's an old story. But Beauty and the Beast is about someone who is, you know, kind of the trope is like kidnapped by a beast. Like it's, you see it in like Alpha Boss, things like that. So it's like a trope of like, you know, a big monster comes, takes you away, but it's got lots of butter in there of like taken out of your provincial life. So someone who's just like, their life is fine and they are a person with lots of control and they're smart, but it would be a lot of boring hard work to go and get a job in the city and, you know, live by yourself and pay your own bills. It's quite tempting to have like someone big and powerful just sweep you away. And, you know, it's also got other butter in there of just like, the beast isn't just a bad man. He is a literal beast. He's literally like a gigantic, hairy, scary, you know, monster. Mm-hmm. That is the butter. It's not just like he's kind of a bad guy. Gaston is kind of a bad guy. The beast is like really exaggerated and you feel petrified. You feel like, oh, but also then he gets to the library and it's like mm-hmm. he sees her so clearly. Somebody buys you the exact right gift. Mm-hmm. And the thing that Theodora Taylor does is she articulates these butter fantasies so well in a way that I absolutely can't do, and I really want to be better. And I have got better at it this week, but she just finds and labels them really, really well. And yeah. I think having read all of her Substack, and read the book many times and listened to podcasts, that really helped me start to figure out, like, how can I articulate the better in my books? Because I think in my previous series, I have written with butter, but I have never added more butter because I didn't know what the butter was. I have, like, put butter in there because I know what makes a person have feelings. I can make a person have feelings, but I can never be like, really, really deliberately, this specific scene gives you this specific feeling, and not just like happy, sad, but it's like connected to a deeper. And I think universal fantasy is such a good way of putting it, because we do all have that fantasy of like someone big and powerful just taking us away from our like quite boring lives. Oh, I would love that. And I would just absolutely melt if someone bought me a library. I could buy my own library, right? I could do that. I could work hard. I'm looking at a whole wall of books right now, but it's quite messy and it needs a dust, and it's not, the books are not organized and there's no ladder and it's relatively small, and it's just like,
yeah,
that is good, but I want the dream version of it.
And it's somebody else doing it for you.
Yeah, I think in my books I was putting in the good thing, and the butter version, the universe fantasy version, is the dream version, and I could never figure out how to like turn it up in my books, and now I think I know how to turn it up. What I've been doing this week is a lot. I've also been watching a lot of things that I don't actually like, and that are in no way targeted at me, and trying to figure out why they have still managed to captivate me, and why people often say, oh, I hate this, but you have to watch it, or like, this is real drivel, but I couldn't stop watching it. And she's very good at recommending things like that. So a couple of things that like are in no way targeted at me, like they're not my genre, I would not be interested. I watched the beginning of Virgin River and Emily in Paris, which both of those things we talked about that people have said to us many times, you have to watch this. And like, in no way are they things that I would want to watch, or that like people are aware of things. They're nothing in common with things I watch. But I watched the beginning of Emily in Paris, and I could watch more. I could watch more, and I hated her. She's the worst person ever.
I've watched the whole thing. Yeah, I've watched the whole thing. I like, it's such a good show to like, for example of butter, because she is a horrendous person. She's the worst character, but you get so pulled into the ridiculousness of it. It's like, it's everything about it is so hyper realistic, and it's like, you just have to see like how she's going to get away with what she's trying to do, or how it's going to go wrong. It is insanely good for things like that. Like, there's a TV show that I'm watching that, like, at the moment, which
it's got the same level of kind of silliness across the bar. So it's not like you have a couple of really exaggerated characters and a couple that seem normal. You're in this heightened whole world. Butter is throughout it. The clothes are buttery. Yeah. The Paris doesn't look that nice in real life. It doesn't smell that nice in real life. As the, you know, they just want like, oh, we're all just sat out here having these long lunches and life's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, where's the, you know, strikes?
Yeah, it's like somebody who's written a show about Paris, but they've never been to Paris.
Probably true.
I love it. Yeah, so I'm watching this show, and I started it maybe a month ago, and I'm 5 seasons in. So my sister has terrible taste in TV show and films. Like hilariously so. So she recommended I watch this TV show, and I was like, I don't think I'm gonna watch it. But then I put it on and I watched the first episode, and I texted her and I said, I hate this. And she said, I know, but you'll keep watching it. And I watch it every day. With butter. Yeah, it's called Good Trouble. It's on Disney Channel. And like it's 5 seasons of it, and there's a spin-off where it's like a prequel. Oh my god, I don't know how these things. And obviously, I'm gonna watch it. The characters are all like, every character makes the wrong decision every single step of the way, and they make me so angry. But like, the situations are butter.
That is a butter that I have seen Theodore Taylor articulate, and she calls it strong wrong. And I was like, yes. Watching someone so confidently make the wrong decision, you're there like screaming at the screen, like, no, I don't run up the stairs. The strong wrong.
Yeah.
Like, yes, of course that's a buttery scene. Of course we want to watch that.
Every single relationship goes wrong because people don't tell the truth. They don't tell how they're actually feeling. So I've watched
that
a Will
so much,
They Won't They relationship.
No,
but that's the thing. Like, there was this relationship that was like every season is like, oh my God, are they actually going to tell each other they love each other? No, they're not. Next season. This is going to be the season. And what's season five now? They're finally together, but I feel like it's about to crumble. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to crumble. There was an episode where I knew exactly what was going to happen. And because I knew exactly what was going to happen, I was happy that it happened. I was like, these two guys, two different love interests, they are going to have to team up to save her. And they did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, one of them, he's going to get shot. He got shot. That was butter. I knew it was going to happen. And I was so excited for it. I was like, oh my God. And then the next best thing, he got shot, went into a coma. Guess what happened? Woke up.
No memory?
Amnesia.
Oh!
No memory.
Perfect. Of course. Yeah.
Worst show in the world. Full of butter. Can't stop watching it.
The one that I'm just listening to the podcast right now from Theatre Rosetta, and she was talking about like her butteriest thing that in fact is so buttery she cannot trust herself to watch it, that she has to only like listen to recaps and like read about it, is Love is Blind. I have watched a whole series of Love is Blind. Love to hate it. Mm-hmm. I can't let myself watch another season because it's so bad. And again, you know exactly what's going to happen and you hate all the people because they're making such terrible decisions. You're like, why are you no, of course he's a bad guy. You listen to what he's saying. I'm like shouting at the screen. Run.
Yeah.
He's lying to you.
Yes.
Oh, and I feel a pit in my stomach.
I do think. This is obviously like for both of us, the strongest form of butter that there is, isn't it? This is like what she calls ghee. This is like the real stuff that gives you a stomachache because it's like so rich, like the bad people that you can't not follow through on.
Yeah, I think so actually when I love it. Yeah, I think one thing that I really felt like in my very first book in my first series that felt very engaging and that most people connected with and that I really made me feel like I know I'm onto a good thing here was when the very first conversation is between the main character and her nemesis, who is the worst person ever. She's like mean almost for the sake of it. Like she is superior, and to see her like get cut down a peg is like the best butter in the series. And I think I'm literally just thinking this, like I don't think I have that in my new series enough. I have upped the butter in several parts. So since we've started reading about this, I took my first chapter and I spent all week working on it, trying to get the butter in. And part of what was making things buttery was actually taking some stuff out, some stuff that distracted from the really buttery parts. It just felt like filler. And it had belonged in before when there was less buttery stuff. It felt more like, oh, I'm adding texture, but now kind of I want every single interaction to have a very strong buttery element. Like it has to be doing something that makes you think, oh, yes, no, ah, I'm tortured.
Yeah.
So the very first scene is her having an interaction with like former school friends. And in my initial version of it, they were kind of like, she remembered how mean they'd been and she just blanked them and walked away. And I was like, okay. And then when I wanted to add butter to it, I had her pretend not to remember them. And she was like, oh, I remember you guys. I met you like down another place we were. She was working on a food truck and you guys fell in the mud. Gosh, that was also awfully embarrassing for you. And then walked away. And I was like, yeah, more buttery. But I think I need to give her quicker a nemesis because she's kind of got like a big fight with her family through the whole first series. But I really want someone that we love to hate. There's nobody that I love to hate yet enough. And I maybe want to bring someone like that out. So that is really useful to think like, what is your favorite butter? And I think I do tend to think about the positive things. Cause I think I'm such a cheerful person. I love Christmas and books and cooking. So I put them in my books, but actually what I love is I have a nemesis in real life. It's like a fun nemesis. It's just my downstairs neighbor who owns the house. He doesn't live there. He rents it to someone else, but we have an argument about like who owns a bit of land. I love it. When you know it has no real life consequences because I never see him. It's just like I love the feeling of having a nemesis in real life, so I should put that in my book. I need a better nemesis.
Yeah,
that is, I'm gonna make myself a note to that. Nemesis.
So Although I haven't done this yet, I know you have been doing this, which is like thinking about writing blurbs and ad copy, which are just
so
like, just filled with butter. So I have done a couple of like test Instagram posts and what's the new Twitter called that we're using, the Threads?
X.
Sorry, I'm such an old person. Threads. No, well, I'm not. Yeah, I'm using Threads. I'm not on X. So I've done a couple of like tester, like little teasery things for my next book. And just like to practice writing. And I'm also this week going to be writing new blurbs and like little teasery things for my previous books and putting butter into those to see if I can get traction. So it's like it has sparked a new task, not just like in my editing, but also in going back and trying to up the butter on I'm probably not going to touch. I might edit my blurbs, to be honest, because I think that I do have butter in my books and I haven't highlighted it. So I might tweak my blurbs as well.
I mean, that's a thing Theodore had to start doing, is a specific course about butter in blurbs, because I think that is such a key place to put it that we don't put it. So I have been playing around with getting AI to write my blurbs. I think it's really helpful to get it, because it'll do several different versions. You give it like different focuses, and I quite like doing that and then pulling out a few different lines to put together into a blurb. And one thing that I found really helpful, because when you're giving AI a prompt, you're not trying to make it good writing, you're trying to make it very clear writing, is that you have to be very articulate about your butter there. So you can say, so for this new series, I've got this character who's returning to she's a black sheep of the family. She's returning to her town. She's a baker. The town is a book town. Her whole family are booksellers. So I don't have to be like great at articulating the butter, but I can put in the things like that's where the conflict is. That's where like the emotional contrast is. And I put in a bit more, and you know, I made it sound a bit better than that. And the blurb that came out was phenomenal. So like the AI had taken the things that I had kind of wrestled out of myself. I was like, oh, how do I, what are my good bits? I hate saying that because I'm English, and how do I articulate those? And then it turned it into like a light, funny thing that didn't sound like a stressed person had written it, which is great. And made me see, yes, there is plenty of butter in this new book series. Whereas trying to do the same thing for an old series was tough, because I didn't write it with butter in mind. I wrote it thinking more about character and setting in kind of like a traditional way. And I think I happened upon a few buttery things, like having a nemesis, like having a best friend who's like a sort of sassy baker. But then I didn't up the butter. So in the first book, nothing really befalls the nemesis. In the very first chapter, she's the one who finds a dead body, and you kind of delight in that discomfort. But like I could have, like thinking back about it now, I could have heightened it. And I think I could have heightened it without making it silly, just leaning a little bit on it. And that's the way with butter, right? It's like, am I making it exaggerated? Because if you do that, you have to go full Emily in Paris and exaggerate everything.
Yes.
And does that fit with your genre conventions? And honestly, for Crazy Mission, it does fit with genre conventions, but it doesn't fit with my natural writing style to have everything be so proper silly. Like, I'm never going to have someone fall into coma and they wake up with amnesia, as much as I love that
I'm contemplating trash TV. It.
But it doesn't fit with my genre, and it doesn't fit with my writing style. I think some writers could make it work. And in fact, some writers could make it work in cozy. You have some really lighthearted ones that feel a bit more so proper-y. But I don't think I could carry that off in a way that would feel like I would love writing it. So it's kind of how to make your butter enough was a big question we were talking about last time.
Yes.
So what have you had any thoughts then about how to make sure you've got enough butter without it feeling like it's kind of a slippery out of control mess? Just to really torture the metaphor.
I know what she said in the book was to write down every chapter, like a description of the chapters that you've got, and then decide what butter is going into each chapter. I'm not doing that because that seems like a lot of work for me, and I, at this stage, don't want to go back. I feel that's like going back at the stage that I'm at with editing the books that I'm working on. But I do have my acts written on the wall and what happens in each act.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like my beat sheet is still up on the wall. So I am kind of going through and deciding what butter is going into each beat. And I feel like I don't want to like overdo it, but at the same time with my genre, because it's like fantasy and like magic mm-hmm. and things, I do have a high tolerance for butter in what I'm writing. So I know that if I have butter in every scene, then I'll be good.
Yeah.
Every scene should have at least one buttery moment.
Mm-hmm. Have you got an example of a buttery moment you've been thinking about?
What was I thinking of earlier? I have one of my favourite buttery things. So I'm going to divulge one of my favourite bits of butter, which is, and we talked about this, I don't know if we recorded this conversation, it was the kombucha girl, what we call the kombucha girl butter.
I don't know either. We talk about that so much, the kombucha girl. I don't think we did record it.
So it's the, I think this person's a bad guy. Oh, maybe not. Oh, actually, yes, they are. So
I'm being kombucha girl.
So I have got a guy in my book and he's an absolute like total a-hole, and but they kind of rely on him to help, and then he does help, but he also is like, he's actually not going to turn out to be such a great guy. So that's kind of something that I'm trying to figure out, like where to put the hints and where to make people think he's going to do some really nice things, and it's going to be like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, maybe he actually really cares. And then I'm trying to figure out what the kind of like rug pulling situations are going to be. So that's kind of some of the stuff that I'm thinking of.
I think my difficulty, because I've also thought like, yeah, it'd be lovely to go through and put, and I had planned to do like put a butter description next to every little scene or next to every chapter. Mm-hmm. It just feels like I am not good enough at articulating butter for it not to feel torturous. Because I think what I would be doing is like twisting something into feeling like, or into calling it butter when it's not butter. And mm-hmm. and that I think I would spend a long time doing it and come out with something that's not any better than what I've got right now. So what I did this week was I went through my... I can't remember what order I did it in. So I'm working on my first chapter. So I'm really, and that kind of contains everything, especially in a mystery. Your first couple of chapters, you have to have met everybody in the book, or at least mentioned them, who might be a suspect later on, or who might be connected to the mystery. So you really have to very consciously introduce everyone quite close to the beginning, and obviously the major conflicts. So I think maybe more than any other book, you really are focused on the beginning and like setting everything up. So that's why it feels quite useful to spend a longer time on the beginning than many other people would generally do. So I have got a butter list that I made ages ago. That's like when I was trying to start thinking long term about, and in fact, stuff I first read the butter book. It's like, what to start thinking long term about improving my writing and making it butterier. But my butter list was just like a list of things that I think are cute. So it's like Christmas, bookshops. And I really, when I really couldn't articulate like what butter was. It was just things mm-hmm. that, because I think she expressed it in many different ways, and I couldn't kind of stick on one that felt meaningful enough. And one that was kind of that she talks about is like, find the things that make you one click buy something. So if you saw a book mm-hmm. that had this in the blurb or had this in the cover, what you'd one click buy. And for me, any book set in a bookshop I will buy, even if I know it's terrible, I will read it and I cannot resist. But then it's like, what is it about the bookshop? It's not the bookshop itself. It's like the butter isn't the bookshop. The butter is, it's many different things, right? So it's like an unlimited supply of books. That's buttery. Mm-hmm. And it is owning your own dream business. That's butter. Yes. It's not bookshop.
Yeah.
So I had this rubbish list of unarticulated butter. So what I spent this week doing was like looking at my first chapter and seeing, could I pull out the things that I originally thought were buttery and like express in a better way, having now become more familiar with how Theodora Taylor talks about it, express it in a way that much more clearly says what the actual buttery bit of it is. So like with bookshops and like with the shops, it was like unlimited supply of books and, you know, being in control of your own life and own business. And then I wrote down all the things I could think of that I'd sort of mentioned or thought about for the book. And then I tried to categorize them together because she also has this thing about, like, I can't remember how she describes it. Like, I like chapter butter and scene butter or book butter and scene butter. There's like a difference between different levels of butter and like how you want to express them. So I've got kind of big levels of things, so like small town, family conflicts. Those are kind of categories of butter that I've got, and they're in the book. Mm-hmm. There may be more themes than you might even, if you're writing romance, you might think of them as tropes, because you maybe articulate them separately. And then underneath that is the scenic butter. So I had one thing that I really hadn't thought about, but I do a lot in my books, and I want to do specifically in this book, was like family meals. And the butter in a family meal, and I think Theodora Taylor talks about this in one of her Substack posts, which, again, very well worth reading. In the family meals, oh, in fact, I know what it was about. It wasn't there. It was in the Facebook group, which I'll also put a link to. There's a Facebook group for Seven Figure Fiction where I think I sent you the link, Sam, where people talked about their favourite butter in small town. I think it was small town romances, but people talk about small town generally. And Cozy Mish is all small town. And one thing to talk about was family meals. And it was about, so all the kind of buttery things in there were having like a parent figure serving thing, like someone serving, the slow pace of it, the maybe traditions that you have in there, the tolerance of kookiness. So like there'll be someone who only eats, you know, marshmallows, and you're like, yeah, that there's their marshmallow dish, and that's lovely. Right, like we love like the tolerance of kooks, and like that's a big thing for my books. So I made a list of like many things that all belong under family meal, and this includes like found family or kind of anything that comes under community meal. And I had things like small town, and then it was trying to think of specific things I love often from Gilmore Girls. So it was like saving a community asset, like when they had the knit-a-thon to save the bridge, and then they're all annoyed when Christopher puts all the money in, because the thing was the knit-a-thon, which like Christopher. Yes. And I love things like that.
But that, it's also anti-rich.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is valuing like community and attention and your time and your company. Mm-hmm. So figuring out how to put on the page that feeling. And I love those scenes where you're all working together to save a bridge, right? Because you don't need a bridge, or someone could pay the money to make a bridge. That is boring. That's what's happening in your real life. In your real life, you write a letter to the council, you write an angry letter to the council, they do nothing about it, you complain about it on Facebook a lot, and then finally 5 years later, they make a bridge. In fantasy land, you have a knit-a-thon. Everyone takes a day off work, spends a whole day knitting, and like you sponsor each other to knit. Makes no logical sense, but it's delightful.
No sense. Yeah, love it. One of the best scenes. I just love that whole thing.
The giant knitting needles. Everything was so good.
Spaghetti with breadsticks.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And that's all butter, right? It's like it's not just taking the thing. It's like then you put the. You add to it, like you add the garlic to the butter and you brown the butter. You're like, you're not just serving regular butter there. You are enhancing it in every way you could possibly think of. So I made myself a list like that. And I think I'm not going to go through and write in this scene or in this chapter, I will do this. It's like, I'm going to keep this list in front of me. And as I'm writing, think, okay, I know what I want to do is I want her to go into her dad's shop. That's actually the next scene. She goes into her dad's shop. What's butter there? Like, what can I pick from this list of things that is buttery? It's not just like, and then I walked into my dad's shop and there were books on the wall. It's like...
I think what you're suggesting there is that you can't let butter derail you from your normal creative or from your craft, because you as the writer, like everything that you're writing is like, it's your whole thing. So you can't just be like, I'm just going to write this as complete butter now.
Epiphany.
Go on.
Right. Yes. No one starts a recipe with butter. No one looks in their fridge like, okay, I've got butter. What am I going to make? You start your recipe with like, okay, I've got a pepper and I've got some I've got some noodles and I've got some bean sprouts I need making. It's like, oh, it's not going to taste very good. I'll make that and I'll add some butter. So like, you don't start with the butter. You add the butter to what you've got. Epiphany. Yeah. And Epiphany. I think I am too often trying to start with the butter.
Yeah, don't start with the butter. Start with your other ingredients, what you would normally do, and then as you're writing, look at your list or like think about the scene that's coming up and think what would make this more buttery. And if like, because I've now got a list of all the things that I love about other books, other films and TV shows, and now I can go and look at that when I'm writing a scene and think what's going to happen. Right, what kind of butter do I love that I could put into this and just like elevate it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and it's really exciting. It's like, it's made me really excited. It's quite daunting, but it's exciting.
I mean, I actually did a thing that I never normally do, or I often do it in a different order. So when I get up in the morning, I write morning pages. And if I am feeling very crotchety, I'm going through a whole period of just being like grumpy all the time. My morning pages are getting my grumps out, just like writing about what I'm annoyed about, and it's out of my head and I feel fine the rest of the day. If I'm going to be where I'm feeling great and I'm like on top of the world, I'm getting everything done, I'm, you know, no problems, I spend all those pages writing about what I'm going to then go to write after that, because I do morning pages and do my writing, and I basically get excited and plan out what's going to come next. But what I did the other day was I already done my first chapter, I thought it was good, and it was good, but I wrote my morning pages about, okay, what butter can I add? And I literally thought of five things that I could add to it, because I had just read, as I have every day this week, just read something like Epiphany from Theodora Taylor.
Yeah.
And it was about like making everything special. So in my book, I already had her in the first chapter. She goes to her shop, this shop that she is in love with, right? It's like her dream come true. She goes to the shop, she opens the door and she walks in. And literally one of Theodora Taylor's posts was about a key, and it's a key on a front cover of someone's book. And she's like, yeah, it's so enticing that on the front cover, the key is not just a regular key. It's like this special ornate gold key with a red ribbon around it. It makes you think, what's that open? I was like, yeah, I mean, the key can be anything in my book, and I've just made it a nothing key. I didn't describe it at all. So now I've made it this like ornate mortise key with a book on the head. It's like an open book. And she describes how it warms in her hand, just like it warmed in her grandma's hand, because it was a grandma's shop. And opening that, and it's like a buttery key. Like it took me two extra sentences to do. So I literally just, after I had written that chapter, thought about where can I butter up some little piece. And I just did five things like that. And in fact, in doing that, I added words, and I realized places where I couldn't add butter to it, and I just took them out. And they weren't serving any purpose. Mm-hmm. And it was epiphany. Epiphany.
Epiphany. Yeah, it has been one of those weeks. Like, the week's gone really fast, but it's been filled with a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm in the Matrix, but, like, the Matrix is made of butter.
Yeah. It really is, because you really... I was watching... what did I watch? I watched X-Men yesterday, and all of these things that were happening in one of the many X-Men films. And I was just, like, literally every scene, like, this is all butter.
Yeah, and also I think the Marvel movies do such a good job of that, right? Because they're often, they're so hard to hang together because they're trying to do so many things in every film, and the way that they keep, because you contrast that with like a Pixar film where they hang together so well. They are so tight, and they, you know, they're incredibly meticulously held together. Like the plots are very strong. Whereas like in a Marvel movie, a lot of it is just like explosions. They're trying to, that's butter to somebody, but it's not butter to me. I don't care about explosions. But they pack it full of butter to make sure that like you will find some butter in there for you. Even if you're watching a scene that you think like, okay, there'll be something funny or there'll be something sweet or there'll be something explodey. Yeah. They're just like,
so
packing it
one
in.
Of the craziest ones, which I realized is like, it's like anti-butter for me. So it's butter, but I hate it. Is in any kind of film, but this happened in this X-Men film, where they blow something up, and you just think, how are they going to, they're never going to fix it. So they blow up the house, like the house blew up, like the school. And I was like, but like the history of that building, everything's gone.
And oh, to the me, insurance that's like, paperwork. Oh,
I was devastated. Like, but like, what, how are they going to, I don't understand how they're going to fix it. And so that to me is butter, because it gives me like this reaction, and it happens in all those sorts of films where like they blow things up and you're like, this city is destroyed, who's gonna fix this? But it gets me every single time. It's like, yes, the Transformers films, it's like everyone's dead because you've just destroyed the city. Like, what? But apparently that's what I like. I like to be angry.
But also
about
like
it.
You know, I think you've got a very specific reaction, so definitely there's a big thing about like when we call it a universal fantasy or when Theodore Taylor calls it that, it's not actually universal. Not everybody loves it. So, but it's something that gives a lot of people a really strong reaction. So it is like being able to just at your will blow up a whole building. And to an extent, right, that is a universal fantasy, right? Like, I'm sure there's times that you've been really mad at some sort of bureaucratic institution. You've thought like, oh, if only I could like mind explode it. I wouldn't in that moment think about the paperwork. I do, you know, yeah. I do when I look at it on screen because I'm not engaged enough. But also to some people, like they love any sort of explosion. That is always their butter. There's a good part. I think it might be in the original book because this is how Theodore Taylor was talking about like how she started to get the idea of butter. Where she was saying that she was watching a film with her husband and it was a film set in space. And it was just like 30, what felt like very long seconds of somebody fixing a spaceship. And she was just like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. Why am I watching this? And she turned to her husband and he was rapt. And she was like, oh, do you like this? He's like, I love this. I love watching somebody fix a broken thing. Because that to me is like, I love it in real life. I love it on, you know, in media. And she was like, oh, tell me why. Tell me all about the butter of that. Like, what feels good about it? They talked about that. And that is like part of how she started thinking about butter, I think. And so, yeah, they're not always universal. They are people that are different, mm-hmm. but there will be, to some extent, universal. Like, I have a house that's had many leaks over the years, so I also have a bit of a, I would love to be able to fix something with incredible ease, and it never causes a knock-on problem. So when I see people, I mean, I realize that I love this when I think about my bucket list. I love, like, fixing up your dream house. So that is on my list. Yes. And I had not planned to put this in the book. In the book, she has got a shop downstairs and I didn't really think about the upstairs, which is accommodation. But I've realized that actually a great subplot of this book would be her fixing up the upstairs because, oh, I love somebody making the dream house. I mean, you can see behind me, my house is like, this is a very small part of it, but it is full of eccentric details. Like this brick wall here was previously covered in white plaster and the plaster needed replacing. And I was like, no, let's just expose the brick. And there's two giant fireplaces behind me. They're just like fantastic original features. And I've got random gold sconces and the giant bee and a zebra head that's a vase and just a bunch of willow, you know, twigs. And it's just like, it's exactly me. And I love somebody fixing up the house to be exactly them. So I'm putting that in this book because I have got the space for something like that. And so I saw that I needed something else as a plot to go in the background of the mystery. And it could be something that, who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love fixing your dream house?
Yeah. And do you think that the thing that, I don't think it's really something I worry about, but definitely something in the back of my mind is, how will you ever run out of butter? Because you don't want to be rehashing the same stuff. Although saying that,
I think you do. I think that's a thing.
Yes, it is a thing. I think that we as writers are like, oh, I don't want to keep telling the same stories over and over again. Like, and everyone else is telling these stories, but yes, like people love to just read the same things or watch the same things over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll watch any TV show with vampires in it. Like, yeah. I don't care. I know all the lore. I know like everything that's going to happen in it, and I'll still tune in. I don't care.
I mean, so, if you get the Twilight books, right, sometimes. You get the same book three times now. The same book has come out a third time, just from different perspectives. Because I think even not just like the
and
genre
read
vampire
them all.
Books.
I have.
Because I think it's not just vampires, but like you want the same thing from the same author. So if you know somebody is always good at sassy friendships, you're not going to think, oh gosh, another sassy friendship. You can think, oh yes, I want another sassy friendship. I'm going to come to this person. I'm trying to think of an author where it's like, if you're a Stephen King story and you know, they're not all the same, but they all have like a working class hero, right? That's the plot of all of them. It's like someone who's pretty powerless, who through their grit and hard work and their being slightly special, right? So like something innately special about them, they save the world in some way. Like they might just save their world, but they save the world in some way. If I went to a Stephen King story and it was about a princess in like fighting a dragon, I'd be like, it's probably good, but it's not. Yeah, that's not what I've come to you for.
Mm-hmm. I would say like John Green is a good example of that in the YA space.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like, one of his books being turned into yet another like, TV show or film. I can't remember what it is. And I know like I will always buy his books because they will just make me really sad and depressed.
Yeah.
And that's what I want from his books.
Yeah. If you went to one and it was just like, you know, the new Game of Thrones. It could be good, but you don't want it.
No, I want to be like, I want to live vicariously through his depressed young characters.
Yeah. Like earnest, wise beyond their years. Yes. I mean, it's like we talk about Gilmore Girls a lot, right? So it's like you wouldn't want to watch an Amy Sherman Palladino show where it didn't have a sassy, seemingly like bottomless stomached, rich beyond possible imagination and realism main female heroine who could do no wrong.
Yeah.
I want that. Yes. I want that avatar. If it was about somebody
who's
like having to like deal with real life consequences, no, I don't want that.
No, not at all. I want it to always work out.
I want everything to be beautiful.
Maybe
and funny.
Maybe it's not something to worry about then. Like it's never, you could never run out of butter. Butter is never ending.
It's an infinite resource. I think. Yeah, I think it's something to think about though. In that, like, so I've got a nemesis in my first book. I maybe want to be careful that I don't have the exact same type of nemesis in my second book or in this in this new series. And I definitely thought about that when I wrote my last series. So I've got two series already. They're quite different innately, but in both series, there's someone who's like a powerful sort of government-y person, right? They work in like a local council or they're the mayor. And they are a bit of a power hungry person, but that's kind of where the similarities end. They're different apart from that, but I definitely want this nemesis to be in some way quite different. And I don't quite know how that'll be. And if I don't know, cause I've written on my idea for this book is that like one of her relatives is going to have quite a strong, like enmity with her. But I don't think I want them to be a long-term nemesis. So I do want someone who is kind of separate from that. And that's maybe why I often make it someone who's kind of in control in a town way. But it's too samey. So I don't want the exact same nemesis. But I want to have someone who's got a stronger... And it might be one of these girls from school. Maybe one of them will turn to be the nemesis because that would be different. But also... they have stayed in a small town. Maybe they've got quite a bit of power socially.
They work on the council.
Why do we say not work on the council? That is too similar to other characters. Not work on the council.
Not work on the council.
But like maybe they are, you know, on the PTA at school. So like connected to lots of people. Like maybe some sort of power. Or they're just socially very influential.
Yes.
But yeah, somehow it needs to be quite a strong nemesis. So I need to think about that. But it's definitely something to like be mindful of that I think I tend to fall into the same patterns. Like I always have two female best friends, one of whom is quite eccentric and the main character is not. But actually that's kind of a cozy thing and really you need your side character to be more eccentric than the main sleuth because the main sleuth has to solve murder and you can't do that if you are wildly eccentric.
I don't know. You could always stumble on, always like stumbling onto the answers and finding the clues by accident.
Maybe, but I think it starts to become unbelievable. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a strong dimension to have like the eccentricity in your side characters.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Well, I think that's it for this. Other than like, I don't really want to go through my list of butter and bore people, but if anybody listening to this wants to know my butter list, just get in touch and I will share with you.
Well, I might look at mine actually. So I had my original one because my original was so terrible. It was just like genuinely, I'm going to read from it. Christmas, bookshops, travel. There's slightly better ones on there, but they're just my hobbies. Yes.
Yeah. It's just
no, but there are things like financial independence, puzzles and connections. So I was like kind of getting closer to what butter is, but they were not articulated in a way that I couldn't put them in my work. But then when I came back through and looked at butter, having done my like incredibly deep dive verging on stalking of Theodore O'Tellie this week, I've got things like Runaway to the Circus. So the main character, mm-hmm. she leaves home and she runs away to become a baker, and they're all mm-hmm. booksellers. Fixing Up a Dream Home, Shared Meals. I've put down, I was like, I'll Have the Usual. So like a regular hangout, like Luke's, like, or like Cheers. It's like a place where people know what you want.
Yes, I like
owning
that.
Your own business, and like own business, own rules. Again, Gilmore Girls, like when Luke hates people having mobiles in the diner. Just like, yeah, those I think they give you a stronger feeling than bookshops, Christmas travel, which are not mm-hmm. butter. So yeah, that really helps.
I'll go through like two of mine on here is
mm-hmm.
are like my like better, like better worded ones. I've got Dead, Think Again.
That is a good, that's some good butter. I love it.
And I've also got No More Mr. Nice Guy. So uh-huh. when somebody's had enough and then they're like, do you know what? Screw this.
Yeah.
I'm kicking the door down.
We've also got Kombucha Girl as a butter.
Kombucha Girl. Yeah, I have written Kombucha Girl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're not about to put Theodore O'Tellie out of a job in terms of articulating our butter.
Definitely not.
But we have learned as much as we can from the master.
Yes. We've both got lists that will be ongoing, I'm sure. Like every TV show, every film, every book is now going to be followed by me furiously scribbling onto like this piece of paper. Like another thing. Everything.
And I think a better use of things that I don't enjoy watching is like, now I can be like, okay, but why am I watching it? My dad absolutely mm-hmm. adores bad sci-fi. Like sci-fi that is, and he and I both share a love of science. We both have a science-y background. And yet he watched sci-fi where it bears no relationship to actual science. And to me, I find it unbearably frustrating. Like I can feel a pit of annoyance in my stomach right now. So it's like, it's sort of buttery, but it's not the right
name. Drop
butter.
One of the weird ones. I need to know, because
they don't even
I'm
have names that make
girl.
Sense. They're just like, they're just one word things. And I never get them promoted on Netflix. He has like got a very different Netflix algorithm to me. And it just sends him things about people. I mean, so the one that is the most famous that actually I do enjoy, and it's like, it's right on the cusp of like what I enjoy, and he will go much further, is The Core. And The Core is great. Mm-hmm. The Core is unbelievably improbable science. Like the core of the earth has stopped spinning and you have to go down into the middle of it to temperatures which clearly no human could survive. There's hollow parts full of crystals. It's just a ragtag band that I get. It's got enough butter, like the ragtag band, and like that mm. I think works really well. And a lot of the sci-fi things that he enjoys, they don't quite get those buttery parts in. Like I think often they have a sort of odds and ends band, not ragtag. It's just like, here's some people that we didn't really think about very deeply. They're played by people who've done a couple of adverts. Whereas The Core, I think Hilary Swank's in that. It's got a lot of famous people in The Core. It's good. But it's like, I maybe will watch more of my dad's obsessive sci-fi and figure out like what the butter is. Often they have like a ticking mm-hmm. clock. Like I think that's really good.
A ticking clock. Yeah. All the time.
There is one that I stayed with my parents during the pandemic, and there's one that he watched that was to do with... I'm so frustrated even thinking about it. It's to do with an airplane, and the sun had become too powerful, and when the sun the sunlight hit the earth, you couldn't survive in it. It was too strong. But some people were in an airplane when it hit, and they were on the dark side of the earth, right? But as mm-hmm. the earth keeps traveling into the sun, keeps rotating, so more and more people get fried, but the plane just kept flying. The whole TV show seemed to be, it was a series, it was a long series. The whole TV show was, they had to fly to a new refueling station, get petrol or jet fuel, and then take off before the sun arrived. And always the sun was just like millimeters behind them. Somebody would be too slow. They would get fried to a crisp. Ah, drama. And then they had the issue of like, the
sun
started degrading
perfect.
Okay, so my internet just got cut off because I think... Big sci-fi was concerned about my my maligning of its reputation. As you can see, it is buttery because I'm still thinking about it. I'm so frustrated by it that I thought about it so much that I caused the internet to break. I mean, watch it. I'll find it. I'm sure if you that sort of thing, your Netflix algorithm has brought it to you. But it has got, I think that problem I have with it is it's so buttery and it's so manipulative, because it would always have this like, the ticking clock. There was always some sort of like short-lived, strong emotional reason for them to be doing something. So it'd be like, this baby needs medicine, but we've never seen this baby before 5 minutes ago. Quick, let's get the medicine. And it was just really, you could see the mechanics on the page. Like, and sounds it frustrated me as a writer. So I think the good thing about butter is that it gives you something positive to take out of even the worst thing that you're watching or reading.
Yes. 100%. Right. Yes, we'll definitely end it there after that absolute monstrous tirade against sci-fi.
Love sci-fi. I think that's the problem, is I love sci-fi and I don't love bad sci-fi.
Okay. Next week's topic, we are continuing our series of writing as marketing. And the next episode is going to be on marketable scenes and quotes. So do you have any thoughts about that right now?
I think that is something that I am bad at. And I was sort of starting to think about it this week because I want to be better at it. And I have no idea how to go about it. And I actually don't really know how much about how to research it, because there's no Theodora Taylor of this topic. And I think it's a hard topic if you're not a romance writer, because I don't have a spicy scene to put in. I've got a lot of sort of cute, quaint scenes, and I don't know how I could write something that's as gripping as like the romantic guy's Doreen, or something that's got like a little aubergine put over the quote. How do I do that for a mystery? Have you got any thoughts on that?
Yes, I see a lot of like a lot of the Instagram stuff that I see on my algorithm is quotes. So quotes from people's books. So I'm going to trawl through my Instagram and see what quotes come up and what quotes are getting the most traction. Because like if they're managing to pull things out for their Instagram posts, then surely they're like that. I think I'm going to be able to find the right kinds of quotes that I need to be putting in. So basically Instagram is my go-to this week.
I had not thought about this until you mentioned it, but I might go and look at popular highlights on Amazon. It's a relatively new tool, I think, in the last year. Often it seems to be weird things that I can't tell why people have picked it as a highlight. But yeah, I think if I can look through some mystery writers and find their popular quotes, that might be something. Because yeah, I have seen it before. It's like, are you quoting it? Because I wonder, like, is there some sort of competition where you had to find a fact and you had to, like, you were highlighted and come back to it? I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's often really, like, a really specific, like, it's often a description of a character. And I have never highlighted that myself, so I don't quite understand why people are doing it. So maybe I need to figure that out. This will be a good exercise. So, yeah, I might look at my comp authors' popular highlights and see if I can figure out what people are looking at, and see if maybe that would get some traction.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we've both got some good homework to do for this week, whilst also continuing our ongoing work in everything else.
A deep love of butter.
Yes, I will be buttering everything up.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, I will see you next week then. Bye.
Yes, you certainly will. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Pen to Paycheck Authors.
Stay tuned for our next episode, and don't forget to subscribe to learn how to write your way to financial success.